neutron optics for the interferometer, each blade represents a beam splitter, so you don't really have a perfect mirror. So in principle, you lose some neutrons when they escape, like basically when you don't refocus them. Okay, so why vibrations are important for neutron interferometer? You can compare the velocity of neutron, which is approximately like kilometer per second, with velocity of light. And for example, if you want to make a light interferometer as sensitive as a neutron interferometer, you want to separate these beam splitters and mirrors on the size of 2 football fields. Can you assume you have such light interferometer? And this will correspond to 10 centimeters neutron interferometer. That's how big a sensitivity. So the wavelength of neutron is 1 angstrom, or a couple of angstrom. Actually, in experiments, we usually use 2.3 or 2.7 angstroms. So you can say it's on the border between cold neutrons and the thermal neutrons. Okay. So what it means that even slow vibrations will produce a huge effect on the neutron interferometer. And we will consider these vibrations. Let's assume that there is a system. This is standard Mach-Zehnder interferometer, 3 blades. And let's point like y-axis vertically up, x-axis in this direction. The neutron will come into interferometer from the left. And it will have some velocity v. Yeah? Then we can consider vibrations in the form of, say, like sine oscillations. So let's like call something as a vibration. So we'll consider each particular mode and see how it will affect a neutron when it will fly through interferometer. So just to remind you what the contrast is. Yeah? So here, the neutron interferometer usually observes the intensity. And this intensity will depend on the phase which neutron will pick up as a difference between path 1 and path 2. You have a question?
So
this is just a general general form of vibrations. You can substitute instead of psi, for example, y. So you can think the whole interferometer is moving up or down. And then like I will use like y equals y zero plus phi. And I actually maybe will call this one different phi. So let's call it, because it's a vibration and we can see the random vibration. So let's call this as a random variable. And we can, at the end of the day, we want to integrate over this random variable because neutron can come at any time. And let's also consider one more thing. When the neutron hits the first blade, this is first blade, yeah? When call this time equals t zero. It's like arbitrary time, like to call this just for the easy calculations. And we will consider like 3 different vibrations today. Any other vibrations for the interferometer will be just like sum of these 3 vibrations, this different coefficient. So let's consider vibration along y-axis as a whole movement of the interferometer around center of mass. Then we consider vibration along the x-axis, so this kind of movement. I want to point it out that vibrations in a z direction, we call it z, yeah, wouldn't really affect it because the blades will be parallel to the neutron, it's not going to affect, it's not going to change the path length, and it's not going to change the neutron momentum. Okay, so this is just definitions. I want to remind you again, like, what's the phase difference between these two? So we will have intensity, which will depend on a, let's call this one. And let's call this delta phi is basically a phase difference between path 2 and path 1. Okay? I mean, I can actually like even say that what the neutron is actually, when it flies through the inside interferometer along path 1 and path 2, it picks up some phase. And the phase will be actually a product of momentum and a path the neutron peaks. And this is like quasi-classical approximation, yeah? So we can say that the neutron phase 1 is going to be nothing else but h So it's p, where the momentum of the neutron times the path. It's basically a path integral along the path 1. And similar, it's a path integral along path 2. And that's what we want to calculate. So when we will consider vibration, we'll see how vibration will affect neutron momentum and a neutron path. We calculate two different path phases. And what we measure is really the difference on the phase. So we will collect what difference of the phase is. And this inequality of interferometer, or what the final effect will be, you will see it in the form of the contrast. So you will see if interferometer lost the contrast or preserved. And the contrast, just as a reminder, it's basically the same thing, only with a plus here. So here it's minus, here it's plus. Yeah. It's basically fringe visibility. Okay, this is just simple definitions. And actually, for the case if the contrast is a sine, like sinusoidal function, so if it's like basically a plus b cosine delta phi, then the contrast will be nothing else as b divided by a. Now let's think like how the vibrations really change the momentum of the neutron. So how neutron interacts with the plate. And I mean you can go into the difficult ways, you can consider really like a neutron as a wave packet, and you can see how it develops using dynamical diffraction theory. But we want to just really simplify it. It's going to be basically mechanical. Let's consider neutron as a ball. Yeah, and how it will interact with the plate. Let's consider the ball moving towards the ball. So it's like heavy ball, and then neutron is really like particle, and it will just basically bounce off the ball. So if the neutron has velocity v, when it bounces off, yeah, so the new velocity of the neutron will be nothing else but just minus v. Yeah? It's just a ball bouncing off the ball. Now assume that the ball is actually moving with some velocity u. Yeah? Then what's going to happen is that the ball is still moving with velocity u. We can switch to the system coordinate which connected to the ball. And then it's again will be the same problem, except like when you switch to the coordinate system of the ball, the neutron velocity will be in that system as v minus u. Okay? And then when you switch it back, then to the rest system of coordinates, your new velocity will be with like basically minus v plus two velocity of the ball. So it's simple, and in real life, our neutron, when it hits the interferometer blades, it actually has some other x component of velocity. Yeah? And we don't consider any friction when it bounces, so the x velocity component won't really modify. So if I modify this picture by saying that the neutron actually has velocity v, yeah. And I can call that this one is y, this one is x coordinate. Yeah. Then it's, when it's bouncing off, the new velocity will be again it's vx. Basically, I'm just adding the x component. You say it's not really modifying it. Okay. Let's consider now y vibrations. So I will consider the vibrations of the interferometer in the form of have a random variable, and we know that if time equals zero, the neutron will hit the blade. Let me, I'm going to be done with this, no questions here. Yeah, by the way, if you have questions, just ask. It's like here. I mean, physics is very simple, it's really just mechanic bouncing ball, it's elastic bouncing, and
like we don't lose any energy, and there is a conservation of momentum, and we calculate all the velocity from momentum conservation. Okay, so we have wave vibrations, and as I wrote it before, we know what the velocity will change. So let's calculate the phases. Maybe we'll call it as a, so this is time equals zero, this is time equals, I will call it, let's 2 tau. And why 2 tau, I will explain, I mean, I can explain right now. So I want to compare two different interferometer designs, and I want to make them have similar length. And because the, so we have 3 blades here, and the total length will make it like as a 4L, just for simplicity, because we will, for the another interferometer, we will have a distance between the blades L, double L, and L, so the total will be 4L, so we'll just call this one 2L, and also, as a note, I want to put that variable tau as a L divided by Vx. And Vx, let's say, is at the zero time of the neutron when it hits the blade. And let me call it just Vx because I'm not going to let it see the time development. Okay, so we calculate first that the t equals zero, then what's momentum change? If you consider path one, yeah, there is no interaction with the blade, it's just passing through. So the neutron velocity doesn't change. And for the neutron which is reflected off the blade, so there is interaction with a moving wall, and we will modify the y component. So the y component reversed, and also it includes the velocity of the blade when it's moving, time t0. So I call it time t0, so velocity of the blade, nothing else, is just derivatives of time derivatives of this, and like I will just calculate derivatives, so it will be omega y0 cosine omega t plus theta, and I call this one 0 because it's a time t equals 0, so it will be just basically random cosine phase. And let me call this one at time equals t0, so it's t equals 0. It's just V of 0. And in this case, the all movements in along y direction. So I will just omit the sign for the movement of the interferometer. So y will correspond to y sub y, u sub y, sorry. OK. So here, we will see that the modification of the velocity of the neutron, yeah, again happens on the second blade. Here will be reflection, so the velocity would be modified, and it would be again like reversed velocity which was here plus double reverse double velocity of that blade. The same happens here, and here we will just ignore it. The main point that these two beams, when they come to the last blade, they should actually coincide in order so we see coherence. So there is some coherence length. But for the y case, yes, the problem actually solves exactly, and two beam paths will exactly cross on a last blade at a time which will be equals 4 tau. And I can explain why it happens. If we just like ignore velocity of the neutron which will go along the y direction, because it will always be a sum of initial velocity with some modification due to the blades. I can maybe just explicitly write it so it would be easier.
Yeah.
Is that the x component doesn't change?
Okay. just for simplicity. So the neutron, I will say it's not moving, but only when it interacts. So in the time scale, when it interacts with the blade, it will add some velocity. So if it was, for example, v, then here the velocity would be vy, yeah? But I will call it zero, for example. So a neutron couldn't really move in the time frame. So this is a time. And this is a y coordinate. And for the neutron in a path 2, actually it adds some velocity. And while it's traveling between plate 1 and plate 2, the time it will move will take 2 tau. Yeah? Because velocity Vx is constant. Okay, Vx is constant, so the time it's traversed between the blades is 2 tau. So it's constant and it's going to be the same between second and third plate because distance is the same. Okay, but the y component of velocity here will be modified, and it will be modified by, so the y component of velocity for time equals 0 will be modified by 2 u at 0 time. So it will start moving, and because it's moving 2 tau time, so it will come to some distance y. And this distance will correspond to 2 tau u of 0 times 2 tau, and this is the time it's transverse. So it's a y coordinate of the distance. So this one stays at the same place, this one modifies. So this is a path 2, this is path 1. Okay. Look at the second blade, yeah? It will modify velocity again, and the velocity, with like change of the velocity for this neutron, it will be just addition to go ahead.
This expression for the velocity was a tendency for the y component of velocity, a tendency in this expression, right?
This is expression of velocity at time t of the blade, yeah.
Of the
interferometer. So interferometer has blades. Neutron interacts with blades. So neutron has its own velocity, but it's modified by interaction with the blade. Okay. And so now it's a time 2 tau, so we will interact with the blades. Velocity in the path 1 will be modified. And it will be modified the same way. No, let me just extend the tau. And that would be distance. So when it will modify, it will start moving along this direction. And the velocity here, because we subtract initial y, y will be, again, 2 y of 2 tau. The velocity of the interferometer at time 2 tau. Yeah? Times 2 tau, and that will be that distance. And the same happens. So there will be modification here too, but modification here it would be the same velocity which was there. So I can just add initial coordinate here. So it would be 2. So it was there, and then I subtract this one because this velocity will be reversed. Yeah. So I subtract all this. The same just basically coordinate. Because in the time 2 tau, it will basically move backwards. So it will move to the same coordinate. But there will be an additional term which will be corresponding to, again, 2 u of 2 tau. And 2 tau. And that is the final coordinate of the ink in the plus 2. And you can see that this one will just go out and the coordinate when they merge to the same. So by luck or whatever, some other reasons, the neutron will actually merge on the last blade and it will get exactly at the same time and the time will be 4 tau in a few blades. Okay, so we know that, and we can just like write down what the phase exchanges will be. So let's calculate phase for part one. So momentum just, you know, I will write as a product of mass and velocity of the neutron, and then the whole phase along the path one of integral of it. And will be velocity, velocity of the neutron while it slides along this path one. Here, for example, velocity is Vy. And the path length which will transverse, it will be nothing else but, again, product of velocity of the neutrons times 2 tau. So the velocity of the neutron, which is V, times the path which it will go. So it's V times 2 tau. So it will be for the distance between first and the second blade, it will be nothing else but Vx squared. Or let me just say it's a module of square times 2 tau. Yeah? So this is nothing else, it's just because it's like two-dimensional problem, we have two velocities, one along x, which is not modified, and one along y. And because velocity vx is not going to modify, it will always have increased in any path calculations, I will just like forget about it, because it will be always subtracted. And because we really care about the difference of the phases again. And it will be all between subtracted periods. So we'll just ignore it, and I'm not going to write to preserve space. And let's see what the and velocity is here. It's again modification due to the plate. As again, as path integral, it will be and this is a path if you subtract the x component of the path. Okay. And let's do the same for the path 2. Again, velocity there is going to be square times 2 tau. And the second one is will be additional addition to the second at the time 2 equals 2 tau implication of the velocity of the wave. So it's going to be no questions here.
Why is the velocity at time zero of the wall that matters for the first path, since the first path doesn't actually interact with the
direct section
of the third section?
Yes. And let's see what the difference is. Okay, I can right away take 2 tau out. Do you agree? It exists everywhere. And I'm looking on the difference now, so it's 2 tau
neutron divided by Planck's constant. And the difference, I will just go this minus this here. And it's going to be let's subtract this one from this one, so it's going to be here square and additional phases. Y squared minus, let's say plus 4, y times. And this minus this term, which is going to be square plus and minus 4. You agree? If I made a mistake, just correct me. I mean, I have a final solution, so I can always look at the end. Okay. So we will just subtract whatever we don't need. Okay. And let's combine terms with y with a vy. V sub y. So it's this one. And okay, I hope I didn't lose anything else, yeah. Shall I just erase on top and go there? So each component will have 4 in front, so we'll just take this 4 out. So it's going to be 8 tau so this term, now this term. Finally, this term, yeah? And whatever is left, it's this term and whatever we didn't, and it's this term and this term, yeah? Yeah. So we can see that this becomes as nothing else but just two in front and And from here, we can also extract, so we can take this one outside. So it's going to be 2 tau. And what's left here is the sum of this. So I have to reverse this one. Going to be minus in front. Basically, it's going to be actually. Okay, it's okay, so this one will go away. And what we have is the final. That will be 2 because it's a sum of these 2, so it will have factor of 2. I will take it out again, so the delta T for 3-blade interferometer will be just this is just exact solution. What we have for the phase difference for the 3-blade interferometer. Check if I'm right. Yes, the sign is okay. Okay. So there is a like couple of notes I should mention, because neutron velocity will be modified. And because it will be modified at some point, it might not satisfy the Bragg condition. Yeah? There is actually a distribution of wavelengths which blade could accept. So there is some distribution of acceptance. And of course, we assume that the modification of momentum would lay inside this distribution. So the interferometer will still accept this neutron. What happens if it doesn't? It will just fly away. You're not going to observe interference there. I mean, you're not going to see any counts. So this assumption is good enough if we consider that the vibration is on the order of submicrons, and the frequency which we introduce is below kilohertz. So I want to point out that in this case, so the time t when the neutron flies inside between the blade 1 and blade 2, it's on order of 10 microseconds. So if we see any, like as a small parameter, we can use omega tau, which omega, if it's below than kilohertz, yeah? Then it will be omega tau, it will be much less than 1. So we can neglect a small variation of this tau. So we can say that tau is actually a very small parameter, so we can actually use this difference as a derivative. So basically acceleration of interferometer. So this is done, I can delete it.
Like, for example,
like
you bought nearby.
And is So I guess, so the frequency of the environment is typically, there is a typical frequency associated?
I mean, the frequency is basically, it's not white noise, but there is some distribution and frequency which includes many vibrations. It's like frequency from zero to, like, I don't know, like, for example, sound, you have like kilohertz, it's like.
When you build your experiment, then your experiments, you can think about it as having a transfer function for vibrations. So you have the vibrations in the environment from pumps and other things going on in the lab. But then your apparatus is going to be sensitive to some smaller range of those, because not all of them are going to be effectively transferred. And typically, it's the low frequency vibrations that are hard to keep out of your experiment, that no matter how you make your apparatus, low frequency vibrations tend to be to show up in the experiment.
And of course, if you build a like, deep system enough, yeah, that has a few meters and like weight, I mean, there will be some resonance frequency, and this resonance frequency could be like few hertz. But even few hertz will be crucial for the simple form. And you can see it a bit later. So basically, I do approximation of this as I will write it as a derivative. So this
for the small t, it will be nothing else but as a like let's say 2 tau and I can call it it's a time t equals tau, for example. It's approximate. And again, rewriting it then will be so we see that the vibration will be will come into the neutron phase difference as an acceleration of interferometer. Okay. Okay. Let's see what happens with a different setup, which has a four blade. And what the big difference is here is that the path will be reversed in the center of the interferometer, but there will be no interference. They will be just crossing. The neutron path will interfere only inside the crystal, where you will have the same, of course, momentum. Otherwise, there will be no interference. Sure.
So, I'm not too familiar with how neutrons interact with each other.
So they basically not. I mean, they first, like, the neutron interferometer is built on the reactors. Reactors have some, actually, intensity. And the time flight when a neutron pass through the interferometer is approximately 50 microseconds. So, and the fluxes is actually like, I don't know, an order 10 to the 6, for example. So there will be no really two neutrons which will be in the inside interferometer. We have a joke, like, because the reactor is like a few meters away from the interferometer facility, like maybe 10 meters away. Basically, when the first neutron comes inside the interferometer, the next, which will come inside the interferometer, is actually not born in the reaction yet. So there is only one neutron at a time. So neutron is actually interfering with itself. So it's basically two different times will interfere. So we not consider any neutron-neutron interaction. I mean, they could interact. There is a nuclear potential, so which they can interact, and there is actually studies of it. So. But we not consider any like really neutron-neutron interaction. Okay. There is no question about the geometry here. So distance between path one and blade one and blade two is just L, and the time transverse inside is going to be just tau in between two blades. The physics is preserved here. The velocity along coordinate x is not going to change. And the same happens here. So the beam path will cross on the last blade at the same spot at the same time. And the time again equals to 4 tau. OK. I mean, I can go quickly, or I can give you the final solution. Maybe for this part, I will just like derive it again to some extent. So you have this result. So I want to just you to remember that the result will be proportional to derivatives of velocity, first derivatives of acceleration. Okay, let's consider the four-blade interferometer. Yeah. Again, as I'm pointing out, that the phase difference at this point for the path 1 and path 2 will be exactly the phase difference for the three-blade interferometer, except the time constant will be tau instead of 2 tau, the same phase. But it's not the same here, yeah? So it's not going to be just double phase. Okay, let's go for the path one. And here I will take out just the tau. Because again, like velocity times tau as a phase. So we'll take tau out, and again I will ignore Vx because it will be subtracted at the end. So I'll put tau here. For the first part, it's going to be just squared. Basically, it's the same what I wrote before. Except here will be tau. But the total distance here will be actually a bit double compared to this one, yeah? Because it will fly with this velocity this path and then the same path. So we'll just multiply it by 2. And plus the final part here. Here it's a t equals 3 tau. Past 2, so we go again here and follow to this point. And again, mass of neutron times tau. Again, here this path length is double of this one, so I put just multiply it by 2 here. And the last one will be I can again just as a phase difference, we'll take this one away. Any square of velocity will be subtracted from path 1 and path 2. So we'll inside then. Okay, let me see. So so I will remove right away this one. I open this one, and because there is always two in front of everywhere, and it's actually come as a square, I can probably, maybe I will just ignore it. Okay, let me do this one, and then it will take it out. It will be simple. So I will open this one from path 2, but I will ignore v square coefficient because they will all be subtracted. And that's subtracting this one. And this one will be squared. So this is this term, and that's the long one. Okay. So basically, I guess that's true. I mean, if you open it up, the final result will be looking very similar to the previous, except like the, I guess what it would be. Okay, again, small times. I can approximate it and write it in the form of derivatives. Go ahead.
Is there a significance why 5 has
a subscript 2?
They shouldn't be there. Just
a shape. Oh, sorry. I meant, yeah. Basically, it's like 4 plane in the front. Let's say this way.
The last line,
the
U of Y,
it's basically, yeah, I kept it. So, because we said we will just use it as a this one. So, that's right. You're right. And again, I can write it as a in the form of derivatives. Tau squared and that would be I had time for example theta minus 2 tau and the total thing will be just and you can see that the phase for the four-blade interferometer will be proportional to the second derivative of velocity. So it's an order of magnitude smaller. Oh, like several orders. Depends, actually. It's omega tau.
That
question.
Would that be a good motivation for four-blade interferometer?
Yeah, for example. And we can consider, now we can consider similar stuff for the X vibrations. And I want to point out that for the X vibration, velocity not going to modify. So the momentum will preserve because there is no real interaction in this direction. So interferometer doesn't have any velocity here. And what's going to happen, for example, while the neutron moves, this blade moves this way. So the path will end up to be here, and they will cross somewhere not at the right point. Yeah? And we can calculate what this phase difference will be. And this phase difference will, like from the plane wave approximation, so when I enter inside, what this distance will be. And the phase will be proportional to this distance or proportional to this, basically, out of focus distance. For the Y vibrations, I will just write as a final. So there will be nothing else. But this is along the x coordinate, v times delta L. And this delta L is a function of this delta x. And delta x for the both cases, so for example, for three blade cases, it will be nothing else but for tau. And here it's already approximation because, in approximation in an order of comparison of the, I guess, velocity, the x coordinate versus the whole length. Okay. So the approximation is made here as a that it's much less than L. And for the four blade, that would be the answer. Basically, from here, you can see that there is not really big difference for the between blade three and three blade interferometer and four blade interferometer for the X vibration. It's actually what turns out to be that the four blade interferometer is a little bit worse than a three blade interferometer because we have additional like blade which will modify your path. And because it's random, you're always averaging it. Just to point it out, as a first case, like when it's Y vibration, it's really just a change the phase difference, what could be affecting here. Because the beam will always come and on the last blade. They always will be at the same point. For this kind of vibration, it's actually already effect of coherence length. Because if they don't come on a blade at the same spot, it's a question what the coherence length, so there will be second interplay. So you might not even see this effect because your coherence length inside interferometer is much smaller. Okay. I will just like tell what the physics for rotational vibration. Actually, rotational vibrations for the interferometers is most crucial. And one point is because while you rotate interferometer, you can easily get out of Bragg, so you wouldn't get any neutron passing through. And I will consider the vibrations, in this case, rotational vibration, in a small angle approximation. So I say that all rotational vibration will be like really small angles. So what happens for the neutron flying through three blade, when it interacts here, it will be nothing else but a movement along y-axis, like on the small angles. And the same for this blade, but it will be in the reverse, basically out of phase. So they will be moving like this.
What are the keys when need to have a return the x direction before, not
sorry, can you repeat
that? What can be the case, like in the case where the blades are vibrating in the x direction this way, we from the green, this is the green chart, we should add the needs mm-hmm. before the last thing. What can be the case when the vibration is forward?
If it goes this way?
Yeah.
So basically, if, for example, when the Newton beam path will cross here, yeah?
So
it's going to be a similar case. It's going to be just reverse the phase.
How do we get the length now to get the internet?
It's the same thing. So if you consider Newton as a wave pack, so it's you have to integrate over wave packet distribution over plane waves. You know for the plane wave what's going to happen. You have a crystal, it's the same as in any vortex. So you have two beams, yeah, which are going along. And you know what's the front, what's the delay for the front of the plane wave. And that will give you some delta phase. It's the same if it comes in front or if it's focused outside. It will be just different phase difference. One will be positive, one will be negative. But the physics is the same. And then you have to integrate over all plane waves. Then you will get distribution for the wave packet. That's why the coherence length actually will matter here. I mean, this is a phase difference just for the plane wave. But you will have to, in addition, integrate.
I think you better show the results because we have to stop on time.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, for the rotational vibrations.
You don't have to write it down. I mean,
For the rotational vibrations, I explained here. For it will be correspond to vibration along y, and this is correspond to the opposite direction, but again along y. For the flow blade, you will have a different velocity, so that will be dependent on the distance from the center of mass. But again, this one will oscillate like this, which is with a double velocity, and this one will oscillate in opposite direction, but again along the y axis.
What is the axis of rotation then?
It's the center of mass along the z. Because any other rotation you can say is a sum of basically vibrations along different masses. Okay, let me just then show you. We did the calculations, and the calculations we actually didn't use the derivatives approximation, it's real like phase differences. Okay. And this is a vibration for the, it's a contrast as a function of frequency of vibrations. For the fall wave is a green line, and the free wave is a blue line. You can see that contrast really doesn't, it's not really changed for the fall wave up to like few hundred hertz. And for the free wave, you can see that the vibrations start thinning the contrast. Okay, let's see what happens for the x vibration along x coordinate. And we can see again, like for the fall blade and free blade, there will be some. And these oscillations will be averaged out if you include many frequencies, because you have to integrate over some frequency ranges. This is for specific frequency vibrations. And we can see here that free blade is a little bit better. But still, like, the contrast start to go after 200 hertz away. Okay, let's see what's happened for rotational vibration. And that went out before. It's really a matter that it's the most effective vibrations for the neutrons of rotation. And you can see it here. Here the coordinate before it was up to kilohertz, here it's up to 100 hertz. So you can see free wave case, the vibrations start to die around 5 hertz frequency. So you see it's fall blade is not really affected. And if I plot it up to 1,000 hertz, fall blade actually is still extending to 1,000 hertz, and it's not really affected by vibration. This is a result, this is a calculation simulation for specific vibration frequency. We use the constant amplitude vibrations, so it means the velocity is increasing with the frequency. Just to show like how we made the measurements, we actually built the 5-blade interferometer. We wanted to see if it's really getting effect. So the interferometer is usually inside the enclosure, because interferometer is not really affected only by vibration, but also by temperature. So this is a huge vibration isolation system. And we want to basically produce some vibrations on the interferometer, and this is made by motor with some shaft. So by rotating it, it will start vibrating vibrations actually in many different directions. And here's the result. So this is like basically five-plate interferometer. You can choose between two plates. This is a picture of it. And here is the result. So this is the interference curve. So it's a, on the detector, you can see for the three-plate case, it's a red curve when there is no vibrations. And for the three-plate case, when there is like 8 hertz vibrations, you can see the interference curve is actually all contour stresses, really affected by even 8 hertz vibrations. So we killed contour interferometer by 8 hertz vibrations. Let's see what happens with the four-plate case. No, red curve, no vibrations. Blue curve, again, 8 hertz vibration. Absolutely the same conditions for both cases. One is survived, no issue. One is actually dead. Okay, and this is just a vibrations versus motor frequency. Contrast versus motor frequency. And you can see for three-plate case, it's not affected up to like 7 hertz, and then it starts to go down. For the four-plate case, you didn't see really any difference. Okay. You probably saw this picture. Oops, sorry. And this is a vibration isolation system for the interferometer. This was made for the three-blade interferometer. This is a huge system. The first stage is actually 40-ton table. So it's like 3 meters, 40-ton table. Actually, it's 4 meters, 40-ton table. And it eliminates any vibrations above, let's say, 10 hertz. And then you want to remove vibrations below 10 hertz by actively controlling. So it's suspended on the tires. I'm done. This is a new setup, yeah. For the neutron interferometer.
I have a very naive question about neutron interferometry. Is it possible to build a source which gives out antineutrons realistically or not?
I mean, in what sense? I mean, of course, probably there are antineutrons, yeah.
No, but you know, is it practical?
No.
Not for the neutron, yeah.
Not for the slot.
Yeah.
I was thinking of some heart attack experiment, but.
Sure.
With your experimental vibration setup, is that also such that the velocity increases with increasing frequency that you're...
I mean, yes, exactly, because like you're rotating shaft, so the faster it goes, you know, calculating from the momentum.
Right. I just wasn't sure if you changed the...
No, the velocity will be changed of the vibrations. And you can actually see when you go to above 10 hertz, the whole building is up to shape, and you can really notice. In an experimental case, it's not only velocity will change, but also the amplitude of the shock ratio will change.
Good.
And actually, there is a paper if you want to read it.
So there's a time.
There is a paper written published.
You done the RTB this afternoon? Mm-hmm. I can probably find
there is
between getting here between 2:30 and 3. Does that work for you?
Okay. Did you want to meet at the PI or here?
Let's meet here.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
So are we still on for tomorrow?
You were going to send me an email.
Oh, sorry.
So if you send that, I'll check my calendar.
Okay, I'll do it. Right.
Yeah. The Hardy, I'm not surprised you have an experiment that needs continued.
Sorry?
Your experiment for parties that you were thinking of with antineutrons.
Oh,
maybe we should talk about that. I'm a little bit surprised
yeah,
that you need antineutrons for Hardy's experiment.
The original kind of, you know, was part of the antiparticle, right?
Yeah, you don't need that. I mean, remember that Hardy's paradox is that you take a measure.
Right.
And so there he said,
that's pretty
good.